Al Motter is with us. Al is a Democratic strategist, member of the Hillary for America team, and is tweeting at A. Motter. I will spell it at the end again. Al, welcome back. Thanks for being here today.
Good morning.
I'm looking at the voting yesterday. Not a big surprise that Chuck Schumer will be the next Democratic leader in the Senate. The House of Representatives have pushed back its vote for Democratic leadership. Nancy Pelosi says in a letter or a note that she sent to her colleagues that she has the support of two-thirds of the caucus. And I'm wondering, what's your perspective on this sort of the leadership, not struggle really, but this sort of jockeying for position that's going on right now?
Well, you know, her letter that you reference is really interesting, Tim, because that is not a typical gambit by her or someone running for that position. Typically, you make your case, you state why you want to be the leader, and then the caucus votes. And I think what the letter reflects is her attempt in a way to sort of make clear, look, I have the votes to do this. You shouldn't oppose me. And that's rankling some people, particularly some on the more moderate side of the Democratic caucus.
Interestingly, because I thought of it the same way, and I wondered, I'm glad you could add that perspective, because I thought, well, this is kind of the seeming attitude during the campaign that had some people like on the Bernie Sanders wing angry at the Hillary Clinton campaign. No reflection on you, but that this was sort of heavy-handed telling us, hey, by the way, don't worry, we'll take care of things, but we're in charge and don't challenge me.
Yeah, I think that is how that looks a little bit. The truth of the matter is she very likely does have the vote, so it's interesting discussion, but it's not relevant to the outcome. And so I think what you're likely to have is a leader Pelosi with some aggravated moderate Democrats in the House caucus. It would be constructive, in my view, if they at least carved out a role for someone on the more moderate side of things, someone who isn't from San Francisco or New York City, who can speak to middle America in a better way than, you know, the leaders that we currently have. And I think that's the fundamental problem. It's less about what people are saying and more about identifying with how people feel. And, you know, we didn't do a good job of that, particularly with respect to white disaffected voters.
Well, and to that point, I saw, you know, Tim Ryan, here he is, Midwestern white male, not African-American, not Hispanic, and not from, as you said, the coasts. And so I think, okay, this is definitely, if nothing symbolically, and of course, he's a pretty smart guy, by the way, and a pretty accomplished person. I don't know that he was necessarily looking for this, but whatever. The point is that there are not a lot of leadership positions in the House either. On the Senate side, Senator Schumer, as we know, but he added people to the list. I think I count now 20% of the members of the Democratic caucus are now in leadership. If you look at all these positions that are there, including the now assistant minority leader, that would be Patty Murray, as well as the whip, Dick Durbin, which is a position he held. But you've got all these others, like Joe Manchin has been added. He's up for re-election in 2018. Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin, she's up for re-election in 2018. And you know, maybe that's carrying it a bit too far to try to get representation. Is that what they're trying to do, though, is try to get more inclusion on the Senate side?
I do think that Chuck's trying to get more inclusion. I mean, well, for one, he's trying to discourage somebody like Joe Manchin from switching parties, but he's also trying to say, hey, we actually appreciate the moderate perspective. Someone like Patty Murray, I love the ascension of her. She is someone who's worked across party lines very constructively. She and Paul Ryan have a great relationship. And if we're going to be successful as a party rebuilding and reattracting a majority of voters in this country, we need to show success on policy. And that's going to require, and this is not what the Sanders voters want, but that's going to require compromise, hard work, and, you know, sweating the details and actually achieving results. And so I like a lot of the changes that Senator Schumer made.
And to that point, give us a sense of the strategy for Senator Sanders being elevated to one of those leadership positions, too, because quite frankly, he's not even a Democrat. I mean, he was a Democrat when he had to become one, when he registered as such in the New Hampshire primary, but he still remains an independent. And it seems to me that for Democrats who are very much identifying with the party and they do all the fundraising, et cetera, it's not to say he doesn't carry his fair share with some of that, but he doesn't seem to be dedicated to the cause of the Democratic Party so much as the cause of whatever he is going after, as well as the fact that the cause of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, it's interesting, when he ran for president, I talked to a bunch of his colleagues And they surprised me in saying that the message he was delivering to the voters this past primary season was the same thing he's been saying in the Senate Democratic Caucus meetings for decades.
Yeah.
So he's been pretty pure to his message, but as you point out, it's not a message nor is his interest in necessarily helping the Democratic Party.
Well, it's also an appeal to the white intellectual liberal party, is it not? I mean, in other words, it's not really the grassroots. There are some, but you know, I didn't get a sense that African-American, he didn't have a lot of the African-American vote. That went to Hillary Clinton. And it's, you know, some of these young college kids, maybe it's that part of it too, but I didn't get the sense that that was a big union message.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I mean, look, Sanders' message in part is we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that. It's about redistribution of income. And as much as you say, liberal elites like that notion, America is a country in which people believe they're going to do better the next day than they're doing that day. And people don't fundamentally want the government to give them everything. They want to earn it, but they want the government to create rules that give them the best chance to earn it. And I think that Sanders' message and the message of some on the left falls flat in that America. And Donald Trump captured that because he said, I'm going to make it better. I'm going to bring back the jobs that then you can go get. And that's where I think we need to be careful with the messages of the far left. Giving people free student to loan debt is nice, but you know, is that really what everybody thinks is the right thing to do?
Once President Obama leaves the White House, Al, who is going to be the voice of the Democratic Party?
Well, thankfully, that's something that can take some time to develop. We've got a lot of people rushing to run the DNC. We need to take our time here. The worst thing to do is to have a reactionary decision in these weeks right now. Our message wasn't perfect this election. We didn't talk about economic growth enough. We pressed identity politics and diversity and inclusion and multiculturalism that, frankly, left behind some voters who felt that we weren't speaking to them. And we've got to get back to that. When Bill Clinton ran in 1992, he stressed tax cuts for the middle class. I don't believe that the left wing of the party right now is interested in tax cuts for anybody. But you have to address growth, economic growth, because economic growth brings everybody along, whether they're LGBT, Black, Asian, Latino, or white. And when you have everybody coming along with your policy message, then you can focus on those very important rights messages of diversity and inclusion.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up in part because some other things I thought about during this campaign is like, well, you know, the sort of traditional that make America great. I mean, you can say whatever you want about dog whistles and everything, but one of the parts of, it seems to me, the American character is the idea that, look, I'm not against immigrants. I just think they ought to wait their turn. Or I think it's great if we can be different. But, you know, at some point, we all need to learn the same language, which was kind of the push for people who immigrated into this country 100 years ago. It's like we all need to learn English. We all need to, you know, adopt the habits of our country. And I feel like sometimes people who voted for Donald Trump are voting for, look, it's inclusion, but let's be inclusive on the condition that you decide to become a part of what we are as Americans. That's a rather complicated cultural argument, but it seems to me that that's a part of what was going on here.
Well, let me take it a different way, but I agree with you, but let me expand on it. The people who, as you say, work hard, who don't mind inclusion, but look a bit askance at all this push for diversity, you know, I think they feel like government, in some ways, the Supreme Court, has been pushing things down their throats without talking to them. They may not be against transgender bathrooms. They may not be against Obamacare in concept, but all sorts of things have happened in the past several years that no one's asked them their opinion of or how it helps, or talked to them about how it helps them get a job. And again, going back to economic growth, if you're not talking to these people about how you're going to make their lives better, why do they care about your messages with respect to people's rights? It doesn't mean that they're against your message. And I think, and that's what troubles me about some of the reaction to this election, where folks in my party are claiming everyone who voted for Trump is racist or misogynist. I mean, that's not true. You have to speak to those people and then bring them along with your more left-leaning messages.
All right. We could talk about this more, and I guess we will at some point. So
I look forward to it.
Al, it's been great, as always. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much.
Al Mater is Democratic strategist, a member of the Hillary for America team, and joining us here to discuss both the loss and also moving forward in the Democratic Party, the leadership and the sort of messaging they are, the job to be done by the Democratic Party. He tweets at Al Mater, A, at A Mater, at A-M-O-T-T-U-R.